Hello and welcome to Kiwi Writer Podcast. My name is Ray Heron. You join us riding in Wairarapa right now. I'm on the back of the GSX 8S. Joining me is Mark Sully, who is in one of the latest episodes of the YouTube channel. Search out MotoNZ on YouTube. G'day, Mark.
Afternoon, Ray.
It's been a good wee ride out through Wairarapa. Stopped at the Gladstone pub for a bit of lunch.
It has been a nice ride.
A couple of things to chat to you about. Let's start with the thing that we've literally just done. There's actually a third person out riding with us today that is not on comms, but he's riding an electric motorcycle, and we've both just had a play on it.
That's an absolute beast.
An Educa Evo Rebelli, and man, it's ridiculously powerful, over 200 kilowatts at the wheel. The downside to it, of course, is range. It does go a fair way, a couple of hundred kilometers between charges, and there's charges around the place. But the thing about this bike is, and you wouldn't realize it, it's being completely electric, no gears.
Yeah, and isn't it strange to try and do a U-turn on? You're just reaching for that clutch. You're desperate to slip the clutch as you get into the turn, and it's not there, and suddenly you're scratching your head going, how do I turn this bike around?
Yeah, as motorcyclists, it's been ingrained into us that if you're coming to a stop, you've got to pull the clutch in. You've got to disengage that engine. And suddenly you've got this thing that it doesn't have a gear lever, it doesn't have a clutch lever, and you're sitting on this thing for the first time in probably over 20 years going, this is a motorcycle, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. But I tell you what, you pull away, and within 2 seconds, you've got a massive grin on your face, and you're going, whoa!
Yeah, so the first time you pull away, that initial, where's the engine? How far do I twist the throttle before the engine pulls away on me? And then you within the first couple of seconds, learn, your brain is rerouted. You learn how to ride the thing.
Yes. And it's really smooth. Once you get the hang of where it transitions between regen, i.e. Throttle braking, and acceleration, once you know that point, you can just be so much smoother in a corner than you can with a petrol engine. It's really really fascinating. Like I feel like because you don't have that moment of chopping on and off the power or the gear shift, you get so much control in corners.
You ride a Z1000 on the daily. How does it compare to that?
You strap two Z1000s together, and you've got the Energica Evo.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was, in terms of handling characteristics, actually really similar. It's got the carbon fiber wheels on it, so it's easier to tip in. There's less counter-steer effort to make it turn. But in terms of the feeling of the mass of the bike and the steering characteristics, actually really similar to just a sport tourer. Doesn't take long to get comfortable with it. The only thing is the low speed is just weird without the clutch.
So the dude's name is Simon. He lives around the Wellington region, and it's his bike. He said, Ray, why don't you take it for a burn? And I said, well, I don't want to because I want to keep it.
Yeah,
and I was exactly right. I think it's a great bike. I know where I can buy one as well, but I just don't know if I have a spare 40K laying around.
Yeah, exactly. It's an expensive thing. I think you have to be, as an early adopter, you've got to have that really as your passion to own that vehicle. And, you know, there are some downsides to it. If you think about the trip we've done, we set off from the Wellington side of the Rimutakas at the Z station in Upper Hutt. And then we've done a lap around the Wairarapa. And, yeah, we'll get back to that Z station. But then it's got a plat factor in 30 minutes for charge.
We also did have to have a conversation about where we were going to go, because we talked about doing a little bit further, didn't we?
Yeah, and so we thought about adding another 50Ks to our ride, and it was just not really an option. On the other hand, you've got to look at where these electric bikes have come from 10 years ago, and if you were doing a 120km ride on them, that was absolute max, so you'd be planning a 70K ride.
A lot of people's Nissan Leaf still only do 100Ks to a charge.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this thing, with a mix of highway and towns, really more than enough for most people, but it's still not a touring bike.
Very nice bike, though. Very, very cool. Really liked it.
Let's talk about your bike. If someone gave me one, I'd keep it.
Exactly. Let's talk about your bike, Z1000. You brought the front wheel around to my place the other day.
Yeah, and it blew my mind with how easy that tyre change was. And we had a bit of a debate about the wheel balance, whether we'd done that right. And it's great. Zero problems. So it held its pressure. There was no zero pressure drop. And I'm not getting any odd vibrations or anything like that. It's great.
So what tyre did you have on it originally?
So we had I had a T32 on it, which I'd absolutely knackered riding around the South Island. It was all chewed out on one side. And then I've just gone to a S22 because that's what I had on the shelf.
So we used the Rabaconda Street Changer, which the clue's in the name. I've used it to change the wheels, tyres on the Tenere. And doing a street bike with no inner tube, God, it was easy.
Yeah, wasn't it quick? And that duckhead thing on the tyre changer, I was a bit concerned going into it that we'd need rim protectors and all sorts of extra things to make sure that we didn't damage this powder-coated rim. And it was just a non-event, one tyre iron straight in there.
15 minutes. I didn't have to faff around getting the wheel on and off the bike. And obviously you've managed to do that in your own garage. But 15 minutes, tyre off, tyre back on, and I didn't even swear.
It was really good. And putting the wheel back on was a non-event. I spent less than 15 minutes by the time I had the wheels back on the ground. So all in, I think the tyre change was probably just under an hour.
You did have questions about the balance. We worked out that the yellow dot on the side of the tyre needed to, as close as possibly, correspond to where the heaviest point on the rim was, which was the valve. We got it within a quarter of a turn, and with a bit more practice we'd probably get it spot on. We put it on a pretty rudimentary wheel balancer. It seemed to be pretty good. Any vibration once it's on the bike?
No, I couldn't detect anything other than just the feedback from the road. So there's no periodic vibration at any speeds that I can detect. And I think we had it probably balanced to within 3 grams. So it was pretty good.
Nice. So there you have it. That's your Rabaconda update. That's our second test for the Rabaconda. I would really still like to get a cruiser, something big and fat, and try and change that rim.
Well, I know someone who's got a cruiser with a 190 wide rear tyre on it. You could have a crack at that. I'm sure he'll be up for a tyre change soon.
Why not? Give that a crack.
And I think I'll be coming to see you when it's time to do mine.
And I think the big test here is going to be side by side with somebody who, maybe an adventure rider, someone like Stuart Swan, who knows how to do a tyre on the floor of his garage with levers or on the side of a trail. Can he change a tyre faster than me doing it with the Rabaconda? That's going to be the question.
The other thing I wouldn't mind having a go at is actually having a go myself, just having watched you do it a couple of times and just seeing, can I figure it out just from having watched your YouTube video and seeing you doing it once in person.
Yeah, why not? We got these toys, we might as well use them. You've just been on a massive South Island road trip as well. Tell me about that.
Sure have. So I set off with four other people, and we did 3,500 kilometers around the South Island down to the Burt Munro back up again. We did sort of a big figure eight around the South Island, and just beautiful riding. Like, hardly any of it was not entertaining. Very few straight roads. We just picked all the right twisties, and just a great trip. A lot of laughs, and didn't want to come home. Wanted to keep going.
But you needed to come home because you're wearing your tyres out.
And speaking of people wearing the tyres out, Simon, the guy on the electric bike, was also in the South at the same time. He went through two sets of tyres on that trip.
Wow.
And I was shocked running Bridgestone T32s, which are normally a 10,000K tyre. I ruined them in 3,500Ks. But carrying luggage, just found out halfway through the trip that my front tyre was running a bit low too, which didn't help.
Yeah, so you're doing more fronts than rears at the moment.
Yeah, and it seems to be a Kawasaki trait. So I've got two Zs, and both of them chew up the front tyres, and I get much more life out of the rears.
Because I've always been told you do two rears to a front.
I've been trying to figure out what it is, and I think part of it is the high and forward mounting of the engine, which is probably loading up the front tyres and the corners more. And then they also put the rider fairly forward over the bars. And I wonder about Kawasaki's forks as well, whether they have room for improvement.
Just incidentally, I give the listeners an idea of what we're recording this on, because the audio quality is not amazing, but not crap. I'm running Alice 2 Vector 2 helmet with the Stena 50R on the side of it. No, 50S. And Mark, you've got my other 50S. Well, it's not mine, it's yours now. I gave it to you.
Yeah, I'm not giving it back. It's great.
So
you have to come and catch me.
oh, challenge accepted. So two Stena 50S's. We are talking on open mesh channel 1. And we've got the mesh port red, which is also on open mesh channel 1, recording via Bluetooth to a GoPro Hero 12. So just to give you an idea of how that works, we're probably not going to use the video of this audio of podcast, but the audio is coming to you on the usual Kiwi Rider podcast channel you're listening to now. So do hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It helps other riding people, other motorcyclists find the podcast. We'd appreciate that. What else have we got to yarn about? Shiny Side Up didn't happen this year, Mark.
Yeah, it's strange. It feels like something's missing from the bike scene, like something that kind of sets the rhythm of the bike year, this event that's left a hole on the calendar. And a few groups sort of stepping up to fill the gaps, which is nice.
There's a few biker breakfasts happening.
You've seen some biker breakfasts happening. We've seen a few councils noticing the absence of that and hunting around the community for things that they can do to kind of keep that engagement and the safety message going. Motorcycle Collective and New Zealand Motorcycle Centre have stepped into that gap a little bit, hosting a Dave Moss event and also hosting some, you know, sort of fun day out stuff for bikers, with the presence of Ride Forever there if you wanted to sign up for a course, which I think is great for all of them to get involved.
Yeah, Dave Moss was in the country. I completely missed him this year. My intention was to follow him around and do some videos, and of course I was laid up with bad knees.
Oh, yeah. It's good to see Dave again. He's had some pretty serious health concerns of late, and it was good to see him back and apparently in good spirits and doing the thing he loves.
You and I had a conversation earlier on today, which I'd like to revisit on the podcast. You've been a Kawasaki power rider for a while.
Medium power, okay.
You made some noises about adventure bikes.
Yeah, just been... Well, partly the roads are changing. The roads are getting slower and bumpier. And I'm thinking that maybe I'll enjoy a different type of bike more because of that. And also wondering, well, what's next? I've been to every town in New Zealand on this bike and others, and still enjoy a good road trip. But, you know, always looking for, well, what's the next thing? Do I want to go off-road? And then what kind of off-road do I want to do? Is it just more of the motor camping and having more accessible campsites? Or is it... you know, entire trips on unsealed roads? Bit of a question mark in my mind. And wondering, well, what bike should I get? Should it be a Tenere? I really, really like the idea of a basic bike that I can do all the work on myself, be self-sufficient. On the other hand, I've test ridden some Triumph Tigers, and I love the electronic adaptive suspension, and I like the motors that are in them. And then, yeah, there's probably more pure off-road bikes that I should try out as well.
Yeah, I think the question really is, how far off-road do you want to get? If you're just talking gravel roads to the camp spot, then I think you're leaning more adventure tourer, Tiger 900, maybe 1200. You could do the same sort of thing on the Pan America. You've got many, many options. But if you really want to get off the beaten track and tackle potentially some more difficult riding, then Tenerife, Tuareg, maybe even Ducati Desert X.
That
sort of thing. I definitely put the V-Strom, and I don't know about the V-Strom 800, but the other V-Stroms, more in the adventure touring category.
So, I've test ridden the DL 800, so I think that's the V-Strom 800.
Yep.
And that was a very enjoyable bike to ride. Like, it was memorable. It was so different to jump on something with long suspension travel and a soft ride, but a ridiculously, torquey bike that wanted to lift its front wheel. I could see how that would be fun. And to me, that felt very capable to go off-road, but I have no reference, all I could say is it certainly soaked up the bumps. And that could potentially be a starting point for me. I feel like that might be a little more off-road than some of the other bikes we've talked about, but boy, do I need educating.
And, of course, it all comes down to how much weight you feel comfortable carrying. How much weight you feel comfortable carrying and how much confidence you have in your ability and in your riding. Because if you put the right tyres on a Pan America, you can take it anywhere.
Yeah. I feel like I'd like a bike I can comfortably pick up. I can pick this up. It's 240-ish kgs weight. But it's an effort to pick it up, and I wouldn't want to have to do it if the handlebars were lower than the wheels.
Other things to think about, 850 and 900 BMWs.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yep.
You've got the new R1300 GS as well, which is a lot smaller in package than the 1250 before it.
I wonder about total cost of ownership with those.
Lots of options, but it's always a fun conversation to have.
Yeah. I feel like there's some more test rides in my future, and just see what's out there. I also just wonder how to gain experience in that space. I mean, I can go and find some gravel roads, but how does one jump from being a road tourer to an off-road rider, other than just going and having a crack at it?
If only you knew somebody with a Tenere 700 in the garage.
Ah, yeah, if only I did. I'll have to put a post on Facebook.
Well, that wraps up the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mark, for joining me. Thank you, Mark, for a good wee ride today. If you haven't listened to our podcast, please do go back and listen to the back catalogue. Lots of useful information. Check out Kiwi Rider Magazine, kiwirider.co.nz. Magazine now twice a month, absolutely free, online, digital magazine. And you'll get the latest on the stunning little Suzuki GSX 8S that I'm riding now as well. Full color photos and all that, you can download it or read it online. All of my stuff goes up at MotoNZ.com or the YouTube channel MotoNZ. New video every week. Otherwise, thank you so much for watching. Keep the rubber side down, throttle on. We'll catch you in 7 days' time.